Okay, welcome to the Catawba Water District Board Meeting on August 15th, 2023 at 6 o'clock p.m. Everybody please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now a moment of silence for our fallen servicemen and women. Thank you. Please be seated.
Roll call. Director Taffy Brock. Here. Director Terry Tincher.
Here.
Director Diana Morris.
Here.
Director Alan Davis.
Here.
Director Sarah Wargo.
Here.
General Manager Michael Pollack.
Here.
Moving on to the consent calendar. Approval of Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants of July 18th, as well as the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of July 18th. Do I have a motion for approval?
I make a motion. Go ahead.
I make a motion to approve A and B. The consent calendar.
Do we have a second?
Seconded.
Okay, so motion to approve consent calendar items A and B made by Director Davis and seconded by Director Tincher. Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Tincher?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
And Director Wargo?
Aye.
Okay. Warrants none, awards of contract none. Update, Catawba Water District Operations Report by General Manager Pollack.
Okay.
Tab 3 of your board book if you're looking at it.
Three, all right.
I think Jerry's Allen is separate because I have.
Yeah. Because I'm special.
You got it? Where you are special. The first item is regarding the RCAC loan for $165,000 at 5% interest. The 10-year loan, with the first 6 months being interest only. The loan documents were signed on August 9th. Construction started with the video log discovered 500 feet of 2-inch galvanized pipe down into the column. We did try to remove it, probably about 16 hours worth. So basically, for however reason that got down there, basically, it's the length of the column pipe is 1,120 feet, so there's 500 feet of this pipe in there. So it's currently, it starts at 677, which won't affect when we put the motor back in there or anything like that. But because if it was freestanding in the middle of the pipe, whatever device they put down there would have been able to go get it and pull it out. But because it was leaning up against the column pipe, they couldn't get anything to go over the top of it because it was hitting the top. So they tried several devices to try and extract it and then pull it out. So they tried for like 16 hours. So they were unable to complete that. So they went ahead and left it at the bottom of the hole. They began to brush and bale on August 10th to clean all the debris off the side of the column pipes and everything, and then begin the motor and the pump installation. So that's currently where we're at.
So the pipe's still down?
Yeah. But it should not affect production or anything like that, because I have this little chart from 1999. The current well level, the static water level, was 500 feet.
It's currently at 556. So let's say it drops 2 feet a year on an average basis. So you're looking at about 60 years before that water actually gets to where the top of the pipe is.
And that would mean that you'd have to drop the pump assembly below that. But there should be new technologies and everything like that, or the well may be obsolete in that amount of time. So it's not going to interfere with what we're going to accomplish. It should last for whatever is needed at this time. Okay. So that was on well 4.
I'm just going to say real quick, they can't stick, is galvanized pipe magnetized?
But so is the column pipe too. So when you send that down, it's going to sit inside. But they tried
every device that they had, and they had manufactured several devices with hooks and everything like that, where the pipe would go over and it had these spikes on the inside, so it was kind of like a Chinese finger. Once it crossed over, it would attach, but
you couldn't, because it was
it wouldn't go over.
It was leaning up against
the side, so you couldn't put anything over the top of it. If it was freestanding in the middle, then sure, you could have pulled it right out, but that wasn't the case.
Who knows how long that's been down there, too.
Right. Yeah, and we don't know how it's got down there.
Oh, it's been down there?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you guys dropped it down there.
No. It's been in there for quite a while. And, you know, when they did the video, they sent a camera in there, so they seen it, right?
So maybe in the future, because, you know, it's like a $20,000 tool, you don't want to send that down with the removal apparatus, because it could bang against the side and crush the camera. So maybe in the future they'll have a technology or a tool that can do that. But for now, it's not going to cause a disruption in service. So we should be okay. And then reservoirs 2, 3, and 4, the construction started on May 22nd. Tank 4 has been completed and it's back in service. Tank 2 has been completed. That was never taken out of service because only the outer shell was painted. Tank 1 was completed on August 9th, and Tank 3, there was some minor repairs up there. They just basically painted the exterior piping and a hydropneumatic tank that was sitting on the side that is non-operational because the paint was all gone. It just looked abandoned, and it's a large device, so I just had them put some paint on it. So that's almost completed, and that's a grant funded project. And the other thing, too, is because there's money left over, we're going to paint both the container warehouses over here on Main Street. So that'll be painted the same color as the tanks, desert sand. And then we have the 30 air vacs throughout the system, the containers, air vac containers. So they're going to paint those desert sand as well. And with the amount of money that is in the grant fund, there should be money left over. I know we talked about this before, that there was going to be enough money left over for to put the Cabazon Water District logo on Tank 1.
My hope is there would be enough money to put on Tank 4 and Tank 1.
So the one that used to say Cabazon, that would have the company logo. And then Tank 4, that used to say Premium Outlets. So you'll see it when you're heading east, and then this Tank 1, you'll see it when you're heading west.
There's only enough to do one or 20 minutes.
That can be a decision. Yeah.
Flip a coin.
Well, we can all vote on it when it gets to that point. But I honestly think we'll have enough of both. We should.
Because what happened was when they painted the hydropneumatic tank, basically you sand it, you prime it, you put in a zinc coat, and then you put the color coat on there. But when they put the primer on there, the primer matched the tank, the oxidation color. So they said, I said, just put a second coat on, we'll call it. So that price, that cost should be reduced, and that should give us the additional funds for both logos. I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping for. And then, of course, well 1, that has been repaired, installed, startup and flushing was completed on August 4th. With a back T sample taken on August 9th, which came back absent of any bacteria. So that is now back in service, is currently filling the tank. And the total cost of that was $142,509. And as I mentioned earlier, that when they were doing the construction, they noticed that there was some oil sitting on top of the water, so they did us a courtesy. They sent down a video log to record what was in there, and they actually removed that, because that's been in there for some time.
And that's food grade oil.
That's a food grade oil, yes.
2 feet?
2 feet on top of the water, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so it's been, this accumulates over time.
Because I know at one point, a couple of years ago, it ended up down at the east side of Cabazon, all the oil, you know.
And
didn't
it run through the
wash area? No, it came out the hose.
No, but there's some running through the wash area. Not on this side.
Okay, and the next item, the bail alarm has installed in the new security systems at all the sites except for the main office here at Broadway. They will remain, Securitas will remain our provider until 11/14/2023, because if we were to end the contract now, we'd have to pay a $3,200 penalty for early termination. And then also at the main street where our warehouse is located, that contract will be valid with Securitas until 3/3/2027, or pay a penalty of $4,500. So those two contracts will be lingering for a little bit, and then Bay Alarm will take over those locations. So Bay Alarm will take over the main office location this year, but not until November.
Do we have to return the old equipment, or is it ours?
It's ours, yeah. They haven't. We can check into
there.
That.
There you go. Good
yeah,
money.
We can check into that. And then I also asked for an update for the insurance claim that was filed on 6/14/2023. That was the vehicle and tool theft that happened in the yard here. Requested an update via email on August 8, 2023, and did not receive a response. So they're just probably following their insurance protocols. And then the last item is the Esperanza Street Waterline Improvement. Phase 1 is a Prop 1 grant-funded project currently in the approval process in the amount of $343,743.
Where's that at?
Huh?
Where's that at on Esperanza?
Esperanza? It's between Elm heading east.
It's not on.
I do have one last comment I'd like to make. So. So the last update from the San Gregorio Pass, Director Davis said that San Gregorio Pass acknowledged that the district has been getting things done quite well through all the grant-funded projects. And there was praise for how well the projects are moving along. So one thing I'd like to add is that the Cabazon Water District's recent success with the implementation and the processing of grant-funded projects and the improvements to the system is in large part of the efforts of Evelyn Aguilar. Evelyn handles a large portion of the affairs with Krieger and Stewart, county agencies, state agencies, the City of Banning, San Gregorio Pass Water Agency, contractors, change orders, payments, invoices, and responding to emails. So that is a large part of the success, along with our knowledgeable staff. So I just wanted to give kudos to her and thank her. Yes, she makes my job very easy.
She's like an everything bagel.
Yes.
Wow. What kind of analogy is that?
I took it as a compliment, but
I don't know.
Next up is San Gregorio update from the San Gregorio Pass Water Regional Alliance meeting. Director Brock.
They basically talked about Chromium 6 issues and the state only giving 2 years to comply and everything, and then PFAS they were talking about. I had to look all this stuff up while they were talking because I had no idea what it was, but that was the big conversation, because I guess for some of the bigger places like Banning and everything, for them to put in a system that's going to clean all this stuff out so that they comply is going to be lots and lots of money. So that's what they were all talking about.
Yeah, PFAS is a big thing in upcoming water quality, and it's a lot in a lot of the plastic items. It's even in Teflon tape. So.
Yeah.
of our chromium levels?
No, we haven't exceeded the limits.
Well, I knew that part, but I was just like, they sometimes get, when a whole bunch of them get together and are doing it, they get so technical, and I'm sitting there going, what the heck? So I got my phone, and I'm like, oh, okay, and I mean, like PFAS, I was like, I don't even know how you spell that. So I put it in, and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. Next, moving on to new business.
One thing I want to say real quick, for the, I didn't put like the San Gregorio Pass update like I normally do for them too, because I figured it could be included with the other item that we have if a director is here. That way it could just all be talked about at once.
Yeah, let's go over that. That's going to be later, though, but that's why that's not here.
Not where it normally is.
Next up, new business. Update from Victor Diaz regarding CAB of Community Action Committee. Mr. Diaz. And is this, is this for this?
Okay. Yeah.
And did Wilford want to speak on this one as well after you?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Good evening, board members. Victor Diaz, CAC president. As per the last phone call that I was dialed in here, I was supposed to bring you guys an update where things are at with our CAC. And one of the important things that we need to know is that the new administration, District 5 supervisor, they seem to be on board with our project. They are fully supportive on to bring positive residential growth development here in town. And they connected me with Mr. Rick Ramirez, who is the principal planner, land use director for their office. And I've been dealing with him as far as, you know, how do we really see this project from a hybrid view so we can take in consideration what's in the general plan. As for that, the general plan has been reopened, and they are taking a look and, you know, accommodating a project into it to see if there's going to be any new guidelines in the general plan. That's one thing. The other update is there is, since flood control at the moment, it's operating under the guidelines that were done 60 years ago. The current, as today, if any one of us go to flood control and try to submit a project for a residential mobile home or stick-built home, step one, you gotta go through their flood plan check. And those guidelines are being, were done 60 years ago. So what we're doing is, we are trying to see if that flood study can be redefined, so we can have, perhaps there's a better scenario when we install our homes. At the moment, homes gotta be installed with a structure of a foundation. You gotta go somewhere between 4 to 5 feet deep inside and under the ground, and keep them 4 feet, 5 feet high. So that's kind of a cost impact for property owners here in our town. So we're just trying to redefine if we can do something better about it. Since there's new technology, things have changed, climate has changed, and perhaps the new flood study will bring us positive results. If not, at the end of the day, we're going to have to do what they tell us to do. That's that, right? And then that new flood study will be done before the end of this year. They have confirmed that. They will have a hydrology render a study done by then. And I will make them as well part of our one of our CAC meetings, so they can come and give us, you know, an update from them, so we can hear that from them. We also have been pursuing to have weed abatement in our track map. As we all know, that is one of the biggest issues we have there on this track map. Vehicles are not able to drive through, and that is causing a couple of negative impacts in our town. One of them, it's allowing, you know, for homes, for squatters to hide behind the bushes, on the back streets. That's giving code enforcement a lot of issues. That is also a fire hazard. We all know that fire hazards here, you know, it's being bad. I mean, you know, there's lives that have been, you know, gone from firemen, and we're going to be able to prevent more of that. And we believe that one way to do that is by getting some support so we can have weed abatement and, you know, clean these streets so we can have access on these streets. And that will prevent, you know, some of the squatters that we have around there, you know, to hide. It will reduce fire hazard. It will reduce work for the police, because all these people, they're being doing a lot of thief activity. And, you know, some of these property owners report that they get their fence stolen often. So all of these little things, I think that just by doing weed abatement and cleaning that whole area and enforcing every property owner to clean up their property, that's going to be a huge impact for us. We had our last CAC on Saturday, and it was a very, very positive momentum. More and more property owners are starting to join us, and it seems to be that we really want serious change and serious progress. You know, we've been trying to do things our own as far as doing our own engineering for the whole truck map area and trying to identify where do we get the funds from, you know, to really bring some progress in that area. It's not a $1 that's going to cost us. You know, we're talking about a couple millions that it's going to take. So through our CAC and through some of the resources we carry, we are trying to plug that in, you know, to really make some progress in that area. In fact, some of these property owners are willing to start making payments or some kind of a system that we can generate where they can start bringing some dollars if that will help in some way. Property owners are willing to do that. I think we gotta find the legalities and, you know, and a mechanism that can be effective. And if that's one way we can go, we'll start collecting, you know, funds from property owners who are willing to get things done. That's important to know. Also, after attending to the last MAC meeting, after speaking with code enforcement and fire department, both agencies are willing to help us. And the way code enforcement can help us, I believe they have several programs and funds available for weed abatement and where they can help property owners who have been victims of squatters and trash and, you know, RVs, you know, drop-offs on their properties and remove them at no cost. Not only that, but also there's a way where they can provide and utilize some of the funds they have to help us clean up the streets. Code enforcement will be attending to our next CAC as well to speak about that. Fire department, it's also agreed that we should reduce fire hazards. If that's something that we could do and collaborate, they are willing to be also part of the puzzle positively. Our next CAC will be, it has been scheduled for November 18 at 10 a.m. The other thing we need to know is that our movement, our CAC property owners committee, it seems like they are willing to attend to the MAC board meetings if it's necessarily. So the governmental agencies get to know who we really are, because we represent a new wave of residents here in Cabazon. And I think it's important at this time to create some kind of bonding and attachment and relationship with all these agencies, you know, because it's perfect timing. So as an example, code enforcement can tell us, you can do that, you cannot do this. Riverside County can tell us, this is some funds available. This is how you can utilize them. Fire department can help us and train us, you know, on fire hazard reductions, things like that. I think all those things can be key for our movement and our progress, doing it the right way. And lastly, I would like to introduce Wilfredo Ventura, who is here with me today. He is an expert engineer in water transmission lines, and I want to give him a moment to come and introduce himself. We believe it's perfect timing, so he can do some kind of start his assessments on the right questions with Mr. Mike, and understand, you know, how's the existing infrastructure engineering, so we can define a true and complete engineering design for the whole track map area. Mr. Willie?
Victor, one question. November 18th, what time and location?
Library.
November?
Public Library. 10 a.m. It is Saturday.
November 18th, come?
Yes. We have it scheduled for that day.
That's after the MAC meeting.
It's 2 days after the MAC meeting. Might be a little bit too heavy for some of the property owners, because what we found is that the evenings are harder for people to show up. Saturdays, they
tend to be here.
Yeah, I
didn't know if you were going to have it before or after.
We don't fit anymore at the library. We don't fit. You know, it's really growing. There's people sitting outside, and I think if we can have access again to that community center, will be ideal.
Did you ever meet with Dina?
I did. Met with her at some point.
Call her up again.
Okay. Any more questions for me?
Oh, yeah. I had a question. You guys talked about it at the meeting. You guys, Mike, you guys have a program that there's the majority of the people that would volunteer to start paying for a meter or whatever, you know, what does it cost? That's $10,000, whatever it is, and just start paying a monthly payment to you until it's paid off. You know what I mean?
I think we take half up front. First, you got to pay for the fire flow, which is $285, and then half down and half before the end of the remaining half before the end of the year.
$285? I think you're right. Is it $285?
$285 for a fire flow.
$285.
Yeah, and that when you do the fire flow, the results are only valid for 6 months. So I believe that's what it is.
But the first thing would be to get the water there.
Right. That's part of the process. That's the protocol.
Any other mechanism where we can start raising funds from all of us that we can put money collective and, you know?
You would have to do that as a group. So if you had a group that would start putting money together, and like I was explaining earlier, it's an install and convey. You install and convey it. You have to have a contractor with $2 million worth of insurance and a license, and get quotes to move forward. And then there's the 100-foot rule. So if someone comes in and they're 2,000 feet from the last service connection, 2,000 feet, anybody that signs up within that 2,000-foot area, it's a 100-foot rule. They would have to reimburse this person 100 foot of that main that they're going to tie into within a 10-year period. If they do it after 10 years, then it's a small window. I mean, 10 years is not a small window, but still.
But not everybody's on Bonita, right? Other people are tied off Bonita.
Yeah, they're all spread around.
Yeah. We can talk about more in detail.
Sure.
Yeah. Talking about the grant, you did mention some kind of grant from another project you were just discussing in your meeting. Is that a state grant or a federal grant?
That
phase one project that you were just mentioning?
Comes through the San Gabriel Pass.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it's a different...
Yeah.
I'm just curious, because he's looking at all kinds of funding.
I know. I'm pretty sure that this grant specifically is more for... like water conservation, and since those pipes over there are so old, us replacing them will prevent leaks and stuff like that.
Oh,
so I don't think installing a new line would count.
There's certain criteria that every grant has to abide by. We can't say, oh, give us $300,000, we can do whatever we want.
Their criteria.
Do you have any questions?
question.
Yeah, I just, from I mean, bringing me in here, I was just trying to understand the gravity of this project.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can come, we can
private, we can talk about it.
Yeah, just to get information about, you know, your end conditions that you have where, you know, you have probably an existing, I think, one fire hydrant right next to the this track.
It ends at that big red house at the midpoint of Bonita. So I think it's 2,900 feet from Elm.
From Elm, yeah. Right. So if we were going to do any study, we would have to do a study first and analyze the pressures and everything.
You've got to get the engineering plans approved, and you've got to get permitting, all that.
Yeah, through here, right, this water district?
Riverside County.
Oh, it would be Riverside.
Yeah, permitting.
Because we're an unincorporated area.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So there's no town, there's no city council.
Right. So for the so when we submit the transportation, we'd be doing some of the reviews, but also I think the water district itself.
That would go to our engineering firm.
Right. So we do everything
for the plan approval.
Yeah. To do everything for your standards.
There's a deposit for the plan approval.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
No, I just. I do a lot more of my design in RC, Rancho California Water District, EMWD. And
okay, all right.
So we're in my office is in Temecula.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, we can design in any water district. We just need to look at the standards and all.
So do you do like the engineering? What is it that you do?
I do all the plant. We do the studies too. We get hydraulic studies. We also, first year, we have to understand how to size the pipe based on all the friction losses, but we need to know what the starting pressures are, static pressure. So you mentioned fire flows. So you do, the pressures are outputted by the fire flow, getting you to whatever your static and residual pressure rate.
Right.
And that's the information we would start with. Because basing on this, the line, I think we're thinking of possibly even doing like booster pumps or something like that in order to pressurize the system further, because it's a long line.
You should have enough pressure, but we can do all that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just a discussion. Well, we can have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
And then go through the details. So it's just, but I do the design. I don't build. I design.
But is it like engineering design?
Once. He's got to get the utility easement approved, where the pipe's going to go, and what size of pipe.
Yeah, size of pipe being how many, you know, the fire hydrants, how they spaced out, been getting the fire department to approve that.
So does that mean that if he did that, then we wouldn't have to go to Krieger Insert?
No, it still has to be approved.
We still have to do
Krieger Insert. Yeah, because everything needs to be designed according to AWWA standards.
Yeah.
So he's going to design it that way. Engineering is going to approve it. They'll have comments here and there, and then
you mentioned Krieger Stewart, so we do like that kind of similar design, like what they do.
Yeah, but it would still because.
But they would do. I don't know what area they would do, but whatever we scope it out, we do whatever the scope is.
But it would still have to be approved by Krieger and Stewart. Yeah. That's what we're associated with.
Oh, I see. There would be the plant, the third party plant checker.
The plant review.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. That's a good company. Yeah.
Any other questions?
How many, do we know, I know you were getting counts and stuff afterwards, how many of the 792 plots out there, how many people were saying that they were willing to put their money down? Like how many of the property owners? Because what scares me is that it's 792. Not all those are off Bonita. It's lines this way. It's a zigzag. It's still a checkerboard of all that.
At the moment, not the 792 are fully aware of, you know, the CAC that we have in place. And the reason why we haven't reached out to all of them is because I personally believe that we still don't have anything in concrete where we can set up a letter endorsed by the water district and mail it out. But I believe if we can get to that point where we can solidify a letter that's endorsed by this water district and the county on the movement that we're doing, then at that point, you know, we can mail it out, and now it's not going to be 50 people. Now it's going to be over 100 people that are going to be, you know, willing to be here. We all know that these subdivisions have been there for perhaps close to 100 years.
That they've never been lived on.
Correct. And the reason why, because of what we're trying to resolve, water transmission lines. That's been one of the biggest issues the whole time. And at the end of the day, who pays for this engineering, right? That's what we're trying to define. So if collectively we do some magic and we put our heads together and we gather, I think you're going to have very good revenue, you know, from all these people every month.
Right. And I think the only obstacle you have is the flood zone.
Correct.
Overcoming the flood zone restrictions.
But that doesn't avoid from anyone to develop. As long as you're able to meet the criteria and okay. Putting the right foundation, the flood control ones, and design the right septic system that will work for this specific lot size, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. You're good to go.
I'm sorry. Well, you were saying that the flood control district was reassessing the floodplain.
Yeah, the study, correct.
Study. So hopefully that could be more positive than mm-hmm. negative.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe drops the depth of the clearance lower than typically what he said, right. 4 feet, which is pretty high.
In the last meeting that you guys had here, I heard from the director that was here from San Gregorio Pass mentioning something about the GAP grant, something like that.
Or the GAP funding?
GAP. I mean, is that some type of a grant?
No. Well, it was payment back. We were approved for a grant. The San Gregorio Pass Water Agency funded us for the gap time of us getting the grant, doing the work to pay them back.
Help smaller water companies that may not have the funding that they need to do projects all up at front, because a lot of grants you have to do so much of the work before they give you the money. So what they do is that they come in and they help the smaller water companies with loaning them the beginning of the money so that they can start getting stuff.
It wasn't new funds, it was just the money to cover it.
Water districts.
Got it. Yeah, okay. Or maybe if you guys know of any other mechanism that we can approach, you know, grants. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a huge benefit for us and especially for these water districts.
So you have to have, there's a certain criteria you have to meet in order to get some of the loans. You have to have collateral. That's one of the things.
How much you're going to spend, too.
Sure. I think after Willie does his piece of the puzzle, at that point, we're going to have a true breakdown cost of the whole engineer work cost that will be related to. This is
like Sarah said, you're going to have pipes running, not just one line run down Bonita. You're going to have to run lines to all the lots.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of pipe.
Yes, sir. I'm assuming from Olive to Bonita, I'm estimating it'll take from 750K to 850K just for the line and work itself?
Just on Bonita.
Yeah, just on Bonita.
The Red House to Elm is 2,900 feet at $120 a foot, plus engineering fees, permitting fees, all that stuff.
So I'm around those numbers.
Yeah, you're looking at 750.
And then, you know, it's 5 blocks this way, 6 blocks on the other side. So about 12 to 15 million investment that can take, you know, to bring waters to all these lots.
You might need to phase it first, though.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Has never seen.
Yeah. This is well, what if we can make it happen?
Well, that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
And like I said, it's an install and convey. You build it, we'll take care of it. That's
so, you know, your best bet would be try to get some kind of developers involved that have money like that, that want to put in a development.
And they will only have 10-year period of time.
They have more resources as well.
Yeah, they have money.
Right now, if you guys are trying to do it, so if I say bring this water out here, and 5 years later she moves in between me and the spot, then she would have to pay me, and I don't know if that goes through the water district or whatnot. But if it hits 10 years and nobody else has moved in on that line,
you're off that money.
You paid to install the system.
Yeah.
How can we leverage, or how can we get smart with the county, you know, that they're willing to do their part and collaborate with this project?
I don't know if it's the county. I mean, the county's got to get you your flood control and stuff like that, but you really need some kind of financial backing. Somebody that's, you need a money man.
Sure.
Yeah, the county's only going to provide you with utility easement and the permitting and the flood zone updates.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else you've got to figure out how to pay for.
And this first time at the MAC meeting where they mentioned beautification funds, this is the first time that this town has seen any of that money. This is not a normal thing. This is,
and then we haven't seen it yet.
We haven't seen it yet. Yeah, they're just.
I was gonna say that they keep saying, you know, they have these dollars, but.
Yeah. What are they gonna? Yeah, and you know, if they're gonna give us some more dumpsters and call that it, because that's about what the county does up here.
And that's because we've been needing some park benches.
Yeah, that's only happened for the last few years too. Dumpsters.
So, I mean, this town's always been clamoring over any kind of drops that we can get from Riverside County. And so it's not from lack of trying. I don't know when the last time they did, like, a beautification house upgrade. I know that was, what, 10 years ago? Where senior citizens could get, some upgrades.
They offered one.
But nobody took them up on it because it was...
It was like four years ago. They offered one.
We got a $20,000 grant from the county.
No, they so offered one.
Our house,
but that was, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
So...
I was seven.
They offered one about 4 years ago, but
you
the
seven.
Demand was
seven.
What they
no.
needed for you to
no
be
seven.
Able to qualify for it, and nobody out here can... There was no sense in them even getting anybody's hopes up. I heard nobody could...
We could probably approach Morongo, increase their gambling population.
That's a very sore subject.
Hotel room tax.
Something.
Place for their employees.
Well, the two, we don't have sewer. Everything's septic out here. There's no sewer
this
here.
Living.
That's not...
I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
Within the projects that are coming here in town with track map, or I don't know if there's some residential that's coming here in town, but back then I believe when Mickey Balvidia was around, he mentioned there was some projects coming in and there was going to be sewer involved.
That's what I was just talking about, right? That was a discussion.
And I believe he mentioned that there could be a way where that sewer line can be extended on Bonita.
Then Mickey's not part of. They didn't get in. And you saw Mickey. Did Mickey ever go to the CAC meeting?
No.
So I'm gonna get the nuts and bolts together from the county and Supervisor Gutierrez to see how deep he's gonna get his toes wet, and you know, solidified exactly how. Support if they're willing to be in this project. Then after that, I think we all here got to put our heads together and identify whether if it's a grant for undeveloped areas, infrastructure funds, something like that. Or, you know, find that angel developer, right, that can be willing to bring and do his thing here. The scary part for them will be that 10-year period of time that, you know, some people might get or be aware of, you know, those details, and at the end of the day, they're going to wait until the 10-year rule is done. And
well, you still didn't really answer the question when I asked how many people do you have that are coming to, like, how many properties of those 792? You said
so far, within 50 and 60.
But are all those properties owned? Because with the developer, they're going to be coming in and telling, like, it's other people own that land. It's not like it's a big open chunk of land that one developer can come and say, boom, I'm buying that.
There's a lot of properties for sale still.
Yeah.
They're all privately owned.
But how many are sold? I mean, you know how many out of those seven?
I think it's over 60.
Pardon?
60.
50 to 60.
But there's a lot more that don't know, you know, about what we're doing. Perhaps if we can solidify a letter that's endorsed by these water districts, things can change. Is it possible to put that letter together so we can mail it out and reach out to them?
Yeah, and what's the letter going to say?
Invite them to see, like an assessment to identify if they will be willing to purchase a water meter or be interested on developing or be interested in.
So you know
anybody well, the water meter is separate than the water line, right? Because even if they pay to bring the water line in, then they still have to pay for a meter on top of it, correct?
Yeah, the meter and the water line, the main line is two different things.
And how much is the water meter for residential?
Either $9,000 or
$13,000. And that's just for the meter?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if we do the math, I mean, at the moment we have the breakdown cost, that true cost, and the engineering, we'll know how much this is going to cost us. At that point, we'll have all the numbers where we can say, okay, Mrs. Sarah, you know, if you're interested to buy water and bring transmission lines to this street, this is how much it's going to cost you, you know, that cost of the line plus the meter, you know, those are the two things that we're going to have to sell at that point. And I have high expectations that people will, you know, act positively, you know. That area, it's been sitting there because of the lack of water. That's it.
Get a study done and figure out how much you actually got to spend.
Yes.
Is that about asking to endorse a letter, considering there's so many things you're wanting to do besides just water?
Is there electric over there?
No.
Edison runs on the main street, and we have approached Edison, and they have no problem on branching out, you know?
That's huge, yeah. 792. Properties that you're talking about.
Individuals, that probably,
individuals,
yeah.
Because the individuals are the ones, I mean, like if we bought a piece of property, I have to pay to have the water connected, have all these things. So it's those people that would pay individually, not as a group, correct?
All I know is the water, yeah.
I don't think
you. Well, you would need to identify all the owners, and like you say, if you wanted to reach out to mail, because they need to, they don't know, like you said, they
you're
don't know.
You're going to have to contact all the ones previously owned.
The 60, you're going to have to contact the 60.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's going to be a big bill for 60. It'd be better if you had 300, then you could split the bill up with smaller portions. So.
It's going to look more enticing the more people have, because it's going to be cheaper the more you have.
At some point, we're going to stage, you know, we're going to do it in phases. And at the moment, we have his part done, and I have the cost. Then I have no problem by coming up with a letter and then mailing it out to, you know, street per street owners. And at that point, I'll have a true assessment of, you know, how many did say yes or no, or don't know, or not interested, you know. And at that point, maybe things can move forward in a different direction. Or perhaps, you know, just like you guys mentioned, bring a developer with deep pockets that's willing to, you know, put
the
money.
The problem with the developer is they're going to want all the property. They're going to develop all the property themselves, and they're going to sell it back to you. That's the only way they're going to do it. They're going to want to develop that whole section, and then you're going to be buying a lot that's already set up with a house on it.
Well, Victor, you can just do a part, just do phase it, like, you know, maybe get 20 or 50, just 50 owners if they happen to be in the main road and work that portion, you know, that's more digestive. You can tackle that link first and then slowly show that growth, you know.
That would be a start. So, yeah, you'd run the main line down Bonita.
Yeah.
And
contact
those,
the north side,
yeah,
and the south side. You're going to have to look up
all the APNs, who owns all those, send them all letters.
Yeah, we have 40 on one side, and the red house takes 2-3 lots. So we have 40 on one side and 37 on the other. So, yeah, we can start doing it that way.
Yeah, I think you should piece it out.
How are you going to get their names and numbers?
Oh, that's very simple. I know how to do that.
I just want to know how you're
going
to do it. I go to the assessor.
I use LangLight.
About, right there.
I was just saying the internet, basically. Or the internet. Yeah. You can get a person's names and a APN number. Just like,
oh, yeah. I just pulled a few of them
yesterday. No, but you could also tell them about Riverside County's code enforcement new deal, right? That they have, if there's squatters on their land that they can't get rid of.
That's why I was saying ask the county, because if you could put everything in there, it sounds much more enticing to them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I can do this, this, that. Independent. Oh, okay. Instead of just water.
Okay. Okay, I got some homework to do on my end. I'm not afraid.
I met you the first time, so keep doing what you're doing. You'll get there.
I think you guys were able to experience, you know, when we started. And Diana has an experience where we are now. I wish you can be there. You'll see a whole different picture now. But, you know, it's taking effort.
Well, he updates us with the meeting.
Oh, excellent. Any other questions for me? Or any other advice that you guys can give us, you know, to do this more effectively and productive, and so we can show true progress? Or am I in the right path? Am I missing something? Or am I not just believing this?
Go to the county people, man, you know? Go to the supervisors.
People are trying to... They may.
There's the PATH agency. However, it's once you become a property owner here, you pay them money, and we don't have not seen a dime of... a drop of water for the amount of money that they're taking out of Cabazon in 60?
Over
60 years. So this is where they finally came up with their gap funding for us, where they're just going to loan us the money for a few months that they're going to get back from the state. Right? That's our big Benny from them. But they are in charge of all the water, and that Mickey's on that board.
No, it's their property owners here. They're paying for it too.
Yeah, if you're already paying for property.
And Mickey Valdivia is on that board, and I think that you should still be.
Ron Duncan, Mickey Valdivia.
Think about this. I think he'll be a big help to you.
Okay.
He's not part of the county anymore, but he's still San Bernardino Pass Water Agency.
Ron Duncan now is in charge of this.
And so is Mickey, though. Mickey's at large. And Robert Ybarra is at large, too.
I think Mickey would be the best, though.
Mickey's.
He cares about Cabazon, too, even though he's not.
Tell
Diana,
thank
you. Victor, you got to get all those people to come to that meeting.
To the MAC?
No, to your meeting.
Yeah, see.
They should get an invite to that meeting.
All of them. Nobody showed up.
It was kind of disheartening.
Yeah. Oh, it was upsetting.
Oh, you didn't get no information from nobody.
I got an email response from Thomas.
I wasn't there.
But it's also hard to get people to come on the weekend.
It is hard to get people to come on the weekend.
Yeah.
I tried to get them all there to go before the MAC meeting. That was my suggestion, like rally them up that way. Have your meeting 2 hours before the MAC meeting. And then you could come up with a plan of how you're going to go into the MAC meeting.
You need to entice them with a barbecue and raffling for drawings.
No, they all showed up. They were all there.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean,
she's talking about the county agencies.
Oh, the county.
County agencies, because then the county agencies are there at the MAC meeting.
So oh, yeah.
The CAC members are willing to come to the next MAC. I'm still digesting whether that could be a good idea.
It depends what they're going to stand up and say, because that's a lot of public comment. And that's why my suggestion was meet right before that, get your ducks in a row, and then go to meet. But...
otherwise, it's going to be a lot of yelling and arguing and fighting.
I don't think we're going to come in and do what just happened last week. No, we're not about that.
Well, you were there.
But it depends, because if you have different people all standing up and speaking their mind, then that's what they're going to do. You don't want it to come off disheveled.
Okay, I'll digest. I have time to digest and then come up with a strategy. And then I'll let Evelyn know our next, whether we make it there. And confirm for November 18. I'll follow up with you.
Okay.
Other than that, thank you again for having us here. You guys still have a soldier here with me, willing to bring and help you guys, you know, bring positive growth here in town. Thank you.
Thank you.
New business is discussion action increase credit card limit to $5,000. Give this over to you guys to walk us through that.
So a lot of items that we have to purchase, a lot of the employees are paying with their credit cards. We did open an Amazon account, so that comes out of our checking account, so that's a convenience. But not everything can be bought on Amazon.
like Jack's Small Engines. We bought our weed abatement skid from them. I use my credit card. The DMV for the new license for the vehicle, that was $1,100. So I know the skid trailer was $2,800. So just having the convenience of having a credit card limit increased would make purchasing items a little easier, because as you can see, for the past year, personal credit cards have been used in the neighborhood of $6,500. And of course, each charge would be paid off on each monthly statement, so there wouldn't be that high interest rate on there. As long as they're paid off every month, like we pay ours, so that's what I recommend.
Questions, comments?
So you're saying you're going to pay it off every month?
So whatever items we can't get on Amazon or we can't get through Core in Maine, basically the majority of the items are planned for, like the vault. I'm not, you know, it's $16,000, so we're going to have to open an account with them. But just for opening, just for ordering some things that are needed, like tools, you know.
I have a Home Depot card.
What is it right now?
$500.
$500?
$500, yeah. And
then
the water industry,
a lot of... Like, we just ordered a motor, so one of the guys had, I can't remember what we did on that one.
What's the spending limit you have? Is it 20? 20. 20,000? Yeah, before you have to get board approval.
Right.
But no, I have been seeing from finance and audit, we're paying back everybody because they're using their own cards.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense, making them use their own cards.
And 500, in my opinion, seems
a lot. Yeah, 500, you can't do anything with it.
Last year it was $100.
Yeah,
we
I know,
we
got
the thing with
it. I was like, we're up to 500? Okay.
Yeah, do we need a motion?
I need a motion. I make a motion to accept the number two, increase credit card limit to $5,000. We'll go with five.
Okay.
I want to go higher.
I second it.
Motion to increase the credit card limit to $5,000, made by Director Davis, second by Director Tincher. Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Tincher?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
And Director Wargo?
Aye.
All right. I'll have to, you're the authorizing agent, so you'll have to be the one that gets in touch with them. I'll get all that phone numbers and stuff like that and send it to you.
Okay. Next up is old business. Discussion updates from San Gregorio Pass Water Agency. We don't have them here, so what happened at the last meeting?
I think I may have mentioned that they were updating their policies as far as benefits and employee procedures, and it was going to be a lengthy discussion, so they were going to have an ad hoc committee look into it and then come up with what needed to be addressed. And the other item I mentioned too was the backbone pipeline that was coming through. An engineering firm did some engineering. They exceeded the budget limit and they did not follow the change order procedures. So that was discussed at the meeting as well.
And they had an algae problem? Is that what they have over there?
They did install a liquid injection that minimized the amount of algae that grows in our pond. So that was $1,900 or something like that.
Yeah.
Small project.
Anything else on that?
That's about it.
Okay. Before we moved into closed session, do you guys want a 5-minute break? Yeah. So we'll meet back for closed session to go over the public employee performance evaluation.
No public comments?
Public comments come after that. Okay, I'll readdress it. Do you guys have any comments?
Well, you know, our public might want to leave.
Oh, we have a closed session.
Okay. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Where is Link? I thought you said Link was coming.
I was going to throw the gavel at him. Oh, he's here? Somebody call Link.
He told Ellen he was going to show up.
Link, you want me to call?
I just talked to him a couple weeks ago.
Where are you? So you're in Calvin, you're not at the meeting. Well, no, he can't, there's no meeting anymore. It's closed session.
Right after the break, are we just going right into closed session?
Right after the break, we'll come in and then we'll call the lawyer.
Am I excluded?
Okay. So it's 5:58, we're going on a break, and 5 minutes later, we're going to enter a closed session. I'm going to mute now.
Oh, thank you.
That's an old,
William Cubs.